We want to welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church, and so many new faces. Thank you. So many faces that we have not seen of late. Again, thank you. You are all a gift from God. The world will call you a mistake. The world will call you a has-been. The world will call you washed up, but God calls you a blessing. Every time you walk through these doors, you are a blessing to us. And I don't ever want you to forget it. Amen. You matter to Blessed Hope Bible Church. When you're not here, church service isn't the same. Why? Because you matter to God and you matter to us. And that's why we're here for you. We're here to do one thing, and that's to equip you to live the kind of life that God has called you to lead. That's what we want you to do, because we believe that's the best life. It's not about silver and gold. It's about victory and living for Jesus. And if you want to learn more about what we do, what we believe, our statement of faith, you can find all of that at our website at www.bhbcstl.org, www.bhbcstl.org. Glad to see my good friend Davion from Jamaica, who is here with us. Amen. So happy to have him. Hallelujah. And so grateful for his presence here this morning. We're going to conclude the series, Victorious Love. Victorious love is that love that God has for each of us. And it is his love that allows us to experience real victory in every area of our life. In fact, I will even go on record as saying that it is God's will for you and me to live in victory in all dimensions and experiences of our human existence. That is God's will. Somebody said, what is God's will? For you to walk in victory. Pure and simple. God's will is for you to walk in victory. But what does victory look like? Well, number one, victory is not about you getting up on the platform and giving your testimony. That's not victory. Anybody can get up and give a testimony and still be walking in defeat. It's not about that. It's not getting up and singing a song, how I got over. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. It's not about that either. Victory in the Christian experience is the ability to be faithful to God in the face of adversity. That's what victory is. Victory is nothing more than your ability and mine to remain faithful to God in the face of adversity. That when everything goes wrong, you're still hanging on. That's victory. And you can tell who got the Holy Ghost and who don't. Watch them go through a storm. That's all you have to know. You'll know who's spirit-filled and who is not. Amen? Amen? So how do we respond to adversity when it comes? And how many of you know that if you live long enough, adversity will come? There will be trouble. There will be storms. Number one, you must recognize that God is bigger than your adversity. He's bigger than your storm. And he's bigger than your trial. He's bigger than whatever it is that you are going through. The second thing you have to do is this. Don't let disappointment, discouragement, and trial and trouble define your attitude. Don't become complacent and indifferent and give up and quit. Because that's not the attitude of somebody who got victory. But we must find strength through God's love to press on anyway. The reason I go to church every Sunday, well, you the pastor. That's not the reason I church. I go to church because God gives me the victory, the ability to go to church. It's not because everything is going right. I don't know what you're going through, and most of you don't know what I'm going through, and that's okay because God knows. God knows. And victory is the ability to get up on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and deal with the rain Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and still be able to hold your head up high. And God's love gives us that. Let me say it again. God's love gives us that, but you got to embrace that love. You got to accept that love. You got to believe that that love is yours. And that will give you the courage to say, you know what? Even though things are not right, watch this. I'm going to get up to spite the devil. I'm going to get up anyway and do what God has called me to do. Our passage for this series is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And I'm going to read from the King James Version of the Bible, and it should be on your screen. Romans, chapter 8. Verse 31 through 39. And this is what it says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today I want us to pay special attention to verses 35 through 39. Verses 35 through 39, and I want us to look at them one more time. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Look at all that stuff. As it is written, for thy sake, Lord, we're killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these storms, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that aren't even here yet, nor height, nor anything below my feet, or any other creature, church member, family member, boss or coworker, is going to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I had to bring that contemporaneous part in there. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In verses 31 through 34, we have God's love for us. He is for us. He is with us. Nobody can stand against us. Christ is with us. Therefore, we can't be condemned. We've been justified by his blood. But in verses 35 through 39, Paul encourages us to show the same love for God that he's already showed for us. Let me say that again. Verses 35 is not about how God loves you. It's about how you love God. It's about how we love God. Amen? Amen. It's that victorious love. Hallelujah. And there are 3 points we want you to consider right now. Number one, let nothing stop you from loving the Lord. Verse 35. Number two, we're more than conquerors. Verses 36 and 37. And number three, I am persuaded. What about you? I am persuaded. What about you? You know, it's so easy to love the Lord when everything's going right. Bills are paid. You've got good health. You praying for everybody but yourself because things are going relatively decent. All is going fine. But what about when things go bad? What about when things are confused and things are happening to you and you don't even know why they're happening? You trying to do the best you can, you give, you pray, you serve, and yet all this mess is coming into your life. What do you do then? Well, Paul says this to us. He asks the rhetorical question, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Now, we got to understand what that verse means. What's going to stop you from loving God after all he's done for you? That's what that verse is saying to you and me this morning. What's going to stop you from loving Christ? What's going to keep you from coming to church? What's going to keep you from picking up your Bible and reading it? What's going to stop you from praying? What's going to stop you from loving that person that doesn't even love you? What's going to stop you from pursuing the life of God that he has placed in your path to live by? What's going to stop you from doing that? That's what verse 34 means. And what we need to understand, nothing should stop us from loving God. After all the things that he has done for us, you shouldn't let, I shouldn't let nothing stop us from loving God. I didn't say every now and then you won't get discouraged, but don't you ever stop loving God. Don't you stop loving God. Don't you say, I tried that salvation stuff. I tried to be a Christian and now I'm a Muslim or a Buddhist. Then you didn't try being a Christian. I tried that Christianity and it didn't work. That's because you didn't try it. See, you tried it like you tried, you know, like you tried something that you eat at a restaurant that you never had before. But that's not how you try Christianity. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you really try him, you won't want to give him up. Amen. And look at what Paul says now. Now, saints, after all that God has done to you, after all the done for you, after all the things he's been for you in your life and how he's justified you and how he will one day glorify you, are you going to let tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword get in your way? Now, for those of us today living in America, a lot of this is not something that we will ever encounter. As a Christian, you're not going to be tried because of your faith. In most cases, go through distress because you're saved, be persecuted for your faith, suffer hunger because you're a child of God, go through perilous moments when you don't know who's going to do something to you because you're a child of God or the sword. Most of us won't ever have to do that. But in some parts of the world, that's a daily experience. And in case you haven't heard, you go to Somalia, that's a daily experience. You go to the cities of Mosul and Tikrit in the nation of Iraq, that is a daily experience. If you go to West Timor, just south of Indonesia, it's a daily experience. If you go to North Korea, the most oppressive country to Christians in human history, it is a daily experience. If you go to Saudi Arabia and you're caught with a Bible, that's life in prison. And so there are places in the world where being a Christian could cost you your life. Now, if you want to read and you're a soldier, you go to Iraq, you read your Bible in your tent. I remember a young man who went to the Air Force during the Gulf War in 1991, and he was writing me saying, we can carry our Bibles, but we must keep them in the tents. We can't take them to the malls and go out and publicly read the Bible. And we're the ones helping them fight. And they're telling us we can't even read our Bible, and we're helping them. Well, those are the laws. Those are the rules. But in America, we will never have that. But consider this. Consider this. We may never go through persecution, but there is job loss. We can relate to that. Amen. There's sickness. We're getting a whole lot of that in the church. Amen. Misunderstandings. Amen. Some of y'all didn't like that one. Discouragement. Amen. Y'all didn't like that even more. Bad feelings. Y'all really didn't like that. Look, all of these things happen to Christians. And the question that you and I have to ask today is, are you going to stop serving God, loving God, living for God, because there's a bump in the road of your Christianity? Because somebody promised you a rose garden. Christianity isn't a rose garden. It's a path that is filled with all kinds of bumps and bruises. David, in his experience, at least knew that there would be some situations where things wouldn't go well. That's why he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because there might come a time when you might find yourself in a hospital bed and the doctor said, we still don't know what's wrong with you. All we know is we can't let you go home yet. Hallelujah. And I want to say to those of you who are in Christ, who are those who love the Lord, listen, you keep loving the Lord, but if you need a doctor, you go to the doctor. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're on medicine to help you get past a virus or anything else you got going on, you come and shout hallelujah, but make sure you take your medicine as it is prescribed. Some of y'all ain't clapping because y'all think that's not faith. But let's make sure we understand each other. You need to understand. When I was going through my hip surgery and the doctor called me and said, by the way, you must go here and give a pint of blood because we're going to do a transfusion. And if that's not enough, can we use somebody else's blood? I said, no problem. You give me the address and the time. I'm going to give my blood. And make sure it was my blood. I videotaped it. The needle getting stuck in my arm. I just watched it. Now, that's my blood, right? Mm-hmm, Mr. Forrest, that's my blood, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Doctors and nurses and healthcare, there's nothing wrong with that. And praying and fasting, there's nothing wrong with that. God can use both of those to bring about your healing. Amen. And just because you shouted on Sunday, don't forget to take medicine. If you're going through the pneumonia or the flu or a bug or whatever it is that you've got that you've had for many, many years, don't be trying to put no trick on God. Don't be trying to put no trick on God. I'm just trying to help somebody. And you say, Pastor, you don't even have a Bible scripture for that. I'd have a Bible scripture, honey, but I got something better than that. I've got a Jesus for that. I've got a Jesus for that. Well, you're telling me that I shouldn't do that. Look at what Jesus did in the book of Matthew chapter 4. When Satan said in the second temptation, you know what, Jesus? Tell you what, if you're the Son of God, you're going to have to prove it. I'm going to take you up to this high pinnacle and I want you to throw yourself off. Because the Bible says, Satan quoting to Jesus, that he will give his angels charge over thee, that they will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said to Satan, consider the wisdom of Jesus. Now, he could have thrown himself over because he's bigger than the mountain. But why prove something to the devil? And Jesus says, don't tempt God. That's the word that I have for that child of God who thinks that they can throw away their medicine because they picked up a Bible. Don't tempt God. If Jesus had enough sense to know that, hey, listen, I've got to do this by God's prescription, take yours. If Jesus, the Son of God, could have stepped off the mountain, he wouldn't have even failed. He could have just walked on thin air if he wanted to. But remember, Jesus wasn't here to trick God. He was here to serve God. And you got saints today, I'm going to have to just dwell on this for a quick second, who think that because they come to church and they get some religion, if you will, and Jesus in their life, they can throw away that medicine. Honey, I'm telling you, take that medicine. We all got something wrong with us. You ain't by yourself. Hallelujah. I got 3 or 4 bottles of painkillers at my house. Amen. Propoxyphene and Darvocet. I'm talking about the heavy hitters. Amen. I ain't got that little Advil stuff. I ain't got that. I got that stuff that will, it's the expressway to La La Land. It will knock out your pain and it will knock you out. Hallelujah. That medication, they said, do not operate any vehicle when taking this medication. Dizziness may occur. But I know that I have to have it there. And take it. Because it's for my good. You know, you go, I'm going to just put my hand on the Bible and wait for the pain to go away. Don't, listen, don't, the Bible's not a Ouija board. Bible's not a Ouija board. That's voodoo. Did Jesus ever lay his hand on a scroll? Did the apostles ever take the Old Testament and place their hands on it and hope something would happen? See where we get this foolishness? I'm going to just put my bills in my Bible. Pay your bills. Contact the collector. You ain't paid your house? No, you broke? Short sell your house. Call the bank. Say, I'm walking away. I ain't filing bankruptcy, messing up my credit. Want to do a short sale. Get out your house. Just like that. Free of charge. Give the bank the keys and clean it up for them. Show you a child of God. Get a new house, but you can't get a new frame of mind, my friends. You better think. I'm just trying to help you understand that it is not... God is not someone who simply allows his will to be dictated by your faith. He's sovereign. He'll do whatever he feel like doing. He won't ask your permission. Paul wants to know, beloved, are you going to stop serving Christ because it's hard? It's too hard. You gonna stop living for God because somebody hurt your feelings in the church? Here you are covered in the blood of Jesus who died on the cross in your place, and you gonna stop serving him because things aren't going the way you think they should go. I remember once somebody once told me, man, I was better off in the clubs. You know what? Then you ain't really in Christ. I remember I was living in the world. I was treated better in the world. You know why? Because everybody's going to the same place. Christianity is meant to challenge you. And there will be a bruise and a scrape sometimes. Because we all are in Christ and we will rub up against each other every now and then. Y'all don't like this. But I'm talking about victory. You got to understand that when soldiers get together for war, how do soldiers prepare for war? They prepare for war by fighting each other so that they can fight the enemy. And my goal is this. If this soldier, if he does not carry his sword right, I tell him how to carry it. I tell him how to remove it from his sheath because he only has a split second. And if he's struggling in this, I will slap his hand, take the sword, and say, now I got it at your throat. How do you feel? Well, you hurt my feelings. Man, I'm trying to save your life. Trying to save your life. You in battle, and I'm looking at you, and everybody said, draw swords. And you, I'm going to grab you because I need you to keep my back. Grab it. Again. You cry, oh, so mistreated. Would you, how about death? Trying to save your life. Trying to help you draw that sword like, boom, what? Amen. You got to know how to draw that sword quick. Because the enemy's coming after you. Doesn't mean I don't love you. It means that I'm very concerned. Hallelujah. About your lack of ability to fight. And Christianity requires a fight. You got to fight, folks. There ain't no peace treaty. Your enemies are threefold. The world, the devil, and your flesh. You got to bring it every day. You got to bring it every day. But it doesn't mean that nobody loves you. It means that you got to step up. It means you got to step up. Amen. It means you got to step up. And understand this, that in church, the goal is to equip. And that means to work you as hard as we can in some cases, if you lazy, so that you can stand for God. Hallelujah. Y'all quiet because y'all want verses 36 and 37, more than conquerors. It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Victory for the Christian is not something we earn. It's something we possess. You already have the victory. You're not trying to get victory. You have the victory. How do I have the victory? You had the victory 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross for your sin. You got the victory over sin, hell, and death in the grave. You got the victory. So it's not something you earn. It's something you possess. So you walk in it. Remember what Paul is saying in the text. We are more, not we're going to be. We are, present tense. We are more than conquerors through him that loved, past tense, us. God has loved you into his victorious plan and purpose of redemption and eternal life. You've got victory now. You are a conqueror now. And if you are a conqueror, why don't you act like one? And quit quoting verse 37. I'm more than a conqueror. And you can't even get past Wednesday night prayer meeting. You say conqueror, but where are you on Wednesday night? You're watching Lost. And that's strange for a child of God to watch a show by that title, but that's all right. But understand something. If you are more than a conqueror, where is the conqueror swagger? You conquer what? What did you conquer? My Lord. It is something we have. It is something we possess because of Jesus. And I'm not talking about Sunday morning shouting victory. I'm talking about everyday victory. I'm talking about yesterday victory, today victory, tomorrow victory, Saturday night special victory. And a conqueror is somebody that does not allow themselves to be judged based upon their past. A conqueror is somebody who understands that God has handled the past, he's dealing with the future, and he's going to work. He's dealing with the present, going to deal with the future as well. God is at work in the life of a conqueror. You can hold your head up, and whatever people used to know about you, God don't know about you. And so you can walk in victory because of the blood of Jesus shed for you and for me. You ain't got to walk around with your head down because folk talking about you like a dog. Honey, they're going to continue to talk about you. After we bury you, they're going to talk about you. They're going to drive by the cemetery where you have been interred, and they're going to talk about you. You're going to have family talking about you. Your own spouse go talk about you. Church folks sitting next to you telling they praying for you go talk about you. You're going to get talked about. You got to be a conqueror. A conqueror don't care what folk think. Conqueror don't live for the opinion of people. The conqueror don't live in such a way to keep a job and play kiss up and brown nose to the boss. A conqueror knows that God will meet their every need. Conqueror know he gonna eat. Conqueror know he gonna have a place to sleep. Conqueror know that he gonna have clothes on his back. Why? Because God is the one who is able to provide. David says it like this: I was once young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, seed begging bread. You're a conqueror. Act like a conqueror. Quit letting folk chump you. You ain't got to worry about, oh, I just wonder how the people feel. I don't care how the people feel. I am a conqueror. Nasty attitude, don't care. I'm going to preach. Paul said in the book of Galatians that if I was here to please man, I couldn't be a servant of God. Men pleaser. Get up out of my face. I ain't here to make you happy. I'm a conqueror. I'm walking in this. I'm walking in this, y'all. I said I'm walking in this. If I am a conqueror, present tense, then all I got to do is be what I am. If the Bible says to me, I am a conqueror, then I just be what the Bible said I am. That's all I got to do. Just be what the Bible says I already am. I ain't trying to fight nobody. I've won. I'm a winner. Wouldn't waste my time. I'm a conqueror. How am I a conqueror? Through him that loved us. Conquer what? Every trial, every adversity, and the ones that ain't even came yet. Them too. And I ain't begging for a fight, but I'm just letting the world know that I'm not the chump I used to be. See, I've been in the weight room. Hallelujah, lifting my weights. I ain't bragging saying bring it on. I'm just letting you know I will fight back. I will fight back. And I will win. Yeah, I forgot that part. I will win. Trials and temptation, foolishness, craziness and all manifestation of evil try to undermine your faith, undermine my faith. coming in and out of the church like the church ain't no different from any other institution. Don't be tricked, saints. There's nothing more special to God than the church. And God's going to show some folk in a minute. You cannot mess with the anointed of God. Can't touch him. And you touch him, you're messing with yourself. You're messing with yourself. You say, Pastor, you got to give me some scripture. There was a king by the name of Uzziah. Prophet went to him and said, Uzziah, you're not right. Uzziah pointed his hand at him, at the preacher, and his hand turned leprosy white. You prophet, I'm going to get you. Whoa, what happened to my hand? Book of Numbers, chapter 15. Miriam said, Moses, you ain't the only one God's speaking through. You ain't. And while she was speaking, she began to look at her skin. Leprosy white. Men came to Elisha, said, Jezebel want to see you, O man of God. If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy all of you. Took out a whole 100 of them. Queen said, send another 100. Man of God, king, queen want to see you. If I'm a man of God, let fire come from heaven. Boom, got him. Third guy went and said, okay, man of God. Listen, don't want no trouble. Would you please? Be careful of touching that which God has already touched. Amen. As a child of God, you're going to experience a lot of issues and a lot of challenges. You may never have to lay your life down for your faith, but you are going to have to stand for it just the same. And when stuff happens, you've got to take the same perspective that Paul takes. In all of the mess of life and all the things that can happen, even within the context of what we do here at Blessed Hope Bible Church, people have been asking me, Pastor, how do you feel about everything that's going on? Let me tell you, I got three words. I am persuaded. In everything that we go through, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I might get tired. I might get a little weary, but I'm persuaded. I might even get a little discouraged, but I'm persuaded. In fact, all the things that I'm going through, you know what? I'm persuaded. Why am I persuaded? Because I know that God is able. I know that God is able. Paul says it like this. I am persuaded that death or nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Listen to me, saints. I don't care. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen with or without my permission. But no matter what comes my way, I am persuaded. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to keep on picking up my Bible. I'm going to keep on declaring the word of God. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on fasting. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep on giving. You say, even if you lose your house, honey, you, who wants the house? I will lose everything for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I got a house already paid for. I'm going to walk streets of gold. I can give up anything. Yes, my bills are paid. But if God allows me to go through, we go through together, saints. You got to understand, you are not by yourself. All you have to do is keep on standing. Don't let folk try to tear you down. Don't let them tell you you're nothing. When the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away your sin, the Bible's already told you, you are more. More! You're more than a conqueror. You're the baddest dude on the street and you running. You are the one that should be chasing everybody else. You're more than a conqueror. Don't you let nothing stand in your way of serving Jesus. Don't you let nothing keep you from experiencing the victory that is in Jesus Christ. Don't you let nobody talk behind your back. Let them keep on talking. The best revenge is to live well. Show up at church anyhow. I thought we ran them away. You can't run nobody, baby. Show up anyhow. That's the best way. Let them know they ain't get you. Ain't nobody took you out. Because God is good. You already got the victory, beloved. You got to walk in it. You got to act like it's yours and quit just wondering when. You already got it. Live like it. Pray like it. Talk like it. Walk like it. You already got it. It's yours. All you got to do is believe it by faith. You got to have some faith. And I'm talking about that faith that says it is a substance, things hoped for, evidence, things not seen. You got to believe God can work miracles at Blessed Hope and work miracles in your life, work a miracle in your marriage, work a miracle in your finances, work a miracle in your kids, work a miracle in all those other situations on your job. Why? Because he going to get that glory. He don't want just a testimony. He wants some glory. Hallelujah. I said he wants some glory. That's why he's giving you the victory, so that he can get the glory, so that he can know that you have the faith to step up when times are hard. Anybody could walk out of Blessed Hope and say, I'm done with this church. There's one favorite record. My young people know this. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, my daughter hit me today. Blah, 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 blah. But we didn't say that when we was in the clubs. You came back Friday and Saturday. Church, step on your toes. Oops. Run on over to the other church. Conquerors don't church hop. Conquerors don't church hop. Let me go shopping like I'm at Macy's. I'm going to go to the men's department. Okay, I better stop. I done got in trouble. Go to women's department. Oh, y'all don't like that, do you? Okay. Right. Told you I don't care. You know where I'm going? I'm going to the blessing department. It's over in the corner behind the men's and women's department. That's why I go to church, to be a blessing and to get a blessing. When I see your face, you bless me. And I hope when you see my face, I bless you. And we walk out together stronger than when we came. Nobody picking on you. Nobody trying to get in your business, but trying to build up your most holy faith. Woo! If you're a conqueror, lift up your hand like this. Repeat after me.
I am
more
than a conqueror
through him that loves me. I am persuaded that nothing and nobody
will keep
me from serving, loving,
praising,
preaching,
and teaching,
and living for God. Give him praise right now.